Hey, welcome. So just imagine for a moment, just kind of indulge me for a moment, that it's August 2017. You're sat at home, you've got your trip planned to Ignite. It's going to be in a great place where you don't have to walk 100 miles and fight with broken escalators. and for that past year, you've been kind of driving adoption of Yammer in your company. And to be honest, you look at the schedule builder and you just completely skip over those sessions, think, hey, I don't need to do that. I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. I'm in a proper happy place. Now, the aim of this session is to try and get you towards that happy place. So welcome to Matt and I's session on driving adoption of Yammer. And so we've wrestled with the clicker for the first time today. Okay, so this is not your typical session. I'm a customer. I work for a company called Mott MacDonald. And really, the aim of this is not to go through the generic use cases. You know, you probably looked at a Microsoft website and they said, well, to use Yammer, you imagine this, you do that, and the use case is quite hollow. The idea being that I'm trying to bring that real kind of perspective so you can make the connection of those cases to your organization and take it forward. And so I've structured this session all around our journey into Yammer, our story. And the idea being, I hope you get to a good place. Now, you may notice there is a guy on the stool alongside me. So he is from Microsoft. He is my handler. He's also my bat boy, my gopher, and translator of Britishisms. I will allow him to come out of the shadows from time to time. He will chip in with the odd pearl of wisdom, but hey, listen to me, not him. Let's rock on. So I am a Brit, so let's give you a little bit of story about me. So I only came into IT about 3 years ago, okay? So for 14 years before that, I was a civil engineer. In fact, civil engineering is still at my heart. I go outside and look at that beautiful Mercedes Stadium that's rising up alongside the Georgia Dome. It's just a piece of wonderment to me. And I shifted into IT about 3 years ago when the global recession really did start biting and made my life really, really hard. I was given the simple roles within IT and driving the use of building information modeling, all very engineering type stuff. And the company I worked for made the decision to move into Office 365. And I suddenly was given the role of, well, hey, you build things. Why don't you architect Office 365? It could be pretty straightforward. So I kind of moved into that space of becoming my job title changed yesterday, collaboration system architect, and I'm responsible for the delivery of Office 365. Now, the point was they wanted me to use my business knowledge, the understanding of how Mott MacDonald worked on the inside, to shape the solutions that IT created, because I wasn't inside the bubble of IT, which is quite often happens. IT shape and form things and then, well, they don't quite match the business. So that was the role they wanted me to do. And I guess over the last 12 months, I've become like an architect and an evangelist. I mean, I took to Yammer like a duck takes to water. I don't know why. It's just my personality type. It just kind of really, really worked for me. And actually, I think I've got one of these special badges on. So about 6 months ago, I actually became an MVP. So in 3 years, I went from building things to all the way through a complete vault face to being an MVP. Now, before I let this man speak, I'm conscious I have a ton of content that I want to get across. So if any of you are following on second screen, if you've even got on the Wi-Fi and able to do it, you'll see on second screen, you'll see all the notes that I'm about to go through, all the things I wanted to say and wished to say, but I didn't get to the point of saying. and you can download it and use it to your heart's content. The idea being, I give you the information, you can take it and use it. So without any further ado, I suppose I better let the man in the shadows come out of the shadows just for 2 minutes.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's my privilege to be here and share with you, some of the best practices that we've learned over the years in driving Yammer adoption through the story of Simon and Mott MacDonald. I joined Yammer in early of 2011, shortly after we raised our Series C round of funding. There were about 80 people at the time, and have been on an incredible journey since that time. I was a part of a team known as the Customer Success Team, and our job was solely focused on helping organizations drive adoption and get value from Yammer at the time. When we were acquired by Microsoft In July of 2012, our team continued to work on Yammer and then expanded to the entire Office 365 suite. And now I'm a part of the Fast Track team, and specifically focused on helping organizations with 50 or more people on their adoption journey, not just for Yammer, but for the entire Office 365. And one of the things that you'll learn and you'll see in this session is that if you look at the Office 365 adoption methodology and how Microsoft is driving, helping organizations get more value from their investment in the suite of tools, a lot of that was learned from Yammer, which was an adoption-first company. It was built around a freemium business model and really started with a focus on end-user engagement, on business value and adoption. And so through the years, we've really learned an incredible amount thanks to all of your great feedback, the bumps along the way, the learnings, and the successes. And so you're in for a real treat to hear about the Mott McDonald story, and I'll do my best to add things where I can.
Back. Alrighty, I think every session has to have a bit of session aerobics. So I'm going to flash up some ideas on the slide. Pop your hands up if anything kind of resonates with you. So I really want to get a feel for why you've come to my session. I'm super privileged that you're here, but I'd like to understand why. So I'm going to pop a couple of thoughts up. So any of these kind of resonate with you? You turn Yammer on and you're kind of like, world on earth now. Or let's think about this one. So who's CIOs like mine who just thinks you just switch the switch and everyone comes? You've probably read the marketing material. Anyone feel to them that Yammer has the power to transform? Anyone? No? Is it a completely new story? Yes. We should get some swag out there. And really, I guess a few of you are here for this. You may have switched it on. You actually want to understand, am I doing the right thing? Which is a really important thing, because if you're working in the silo, how do you know you're doing the best thing? And finally, there's a whole load of gurus just down in this second row here who've been there, done it, got many Yammer t-shirts. So I reckon they're here for, I want to just learn some more, or just really not learn anything from me. So hopefully there, I've kind of resonated with you. There's some reason why you're here. You might be just here because what is Yammer? So, and I'm happy to run through that. So, okay. So I kind of divided the session up into chunks, right? So what you're seeing coming up is, what I'm trying to get across is driving Yammer adoption is completely and utterly worth it, right? It's well worth doing. And the point is, actually, you can drive it. There's no secret sauce. There's no magic. It's you, and you can do this thing. And it can transform your organization. And I'll cover in a few slides down the line how it's transformed ours and some of the really good stories about it. So how I've kind of put this together, if I aim this in the right location. Great. Okay, so what I'm going to do is kind of set the context, which the great news is you're halfway through, which is brilliant. And I'll talk about Mott McDonald's journey from the legacy world that they were in before they flicked the switch for Office 365 and made the transition to Yammer. And I'll kind of then move on to the transformational power of it in terms of the whole breaking down the silos routine. And then I'll move on to talk about how we're going to weave it into our business fabric. So I'll give you some examples how we actually use Yammer in our business processes and how we weave it into our everyday life. And then I'll finish off by talking about spiking interest here, how analytics can really make that difference in your adoption drive. And I'll kind of just all wrap it up with a few takeaways and sources, and I'm sure they'll have some pearls of wisdom to add at that point. So yeah, a little bit about the company I represent. We are not the international chain of burger flippers. Our logo was very, very similar up until Easter this year. We are an engineering consultancy, $2 billion revenue. We work in 150 countries. We have many, many things that we do in terms of we go from taking the water away from here, all the rainwater from this building will go through a Mott McDonald design tunnel all the way out to a combined storage facility in downtown Atlanta for processing. We do things like that. We do things like building giant stadiums. Not the one across the way, but we do some other ones. Oakland Bay Bridge, that's the kind of thing we do. But we're really diverse, 150 countries, as I say. We work in 16,000 people we employ. And one of the reasons why Mott MacDonald do what we do, and hopefully really well, is we focus on selling our knowledge and our know-how. That's where we try and get to. And to allow us to do that, we've got to leverage our internal network. So there is absolutely no point in someone getting a customer contact and then not passing it out, trying to find the right expert to actually help that customer at that time. So we are really good internally at leveraging networks. And Yammer just really helped us get 10 times better at doing that, breaking down those silos. And we kind of bring this all together that Yammer has this really big fit in our new name and our new brand, which is about this whole idea that Yammer opens opportunities through connected thinking. Well, that's actually our company strapline, and Yammer actually fits that really, really well. And that's how it fits into the space. Okay, so a little bit about the history in our journey, and it is relatively short. So back in 2014, we started upon a program of business improvement. The global recession kind of knocked us for six a bit, and we really had to change the way our business worked. So you see on the man on the slide, who was at the time our IT director, is now the director of business transformation, said we've just got to go digital. We've got to make this big jump and change the way we're working and be quite transformational. And at the time, he started generating papers that are talking about, well, social would really help. There was no definition of what social was, but social was the thing that would go. And as those programs developed and moved on, the whole idea of social, although we didn't have a definition of what social was still at its heart. We knew we wanted to talk, we knew we wanted to collaborate, we knew we wanted to extend the external networks, but they couldn't see the sort of the glue in the wiring. Now, I think my battery's gone flat. Come on. Yeah, that's better. So what we kind of did was we wanted to start stringing it all together. We kind of knew what we wanted to achieve as a business. We knew that social would help us build networks, but we needed some real glue. And we didn't have a product, but we wanted a way of putting it into our psyche and making it work for us. And that kind of leads to my first tip. I know it's kind of a bit early on. And so one of the things we did really well that really opened the door for enterprise social or social, however you'd like to call it, was we started tying back the needs that we wanted to fulfill to our company's mission statements. As you see there, there's in the earlier slide, there was a direct correlation between our company line of connected thinking and the power of Yammer. So that started to build a bond. We knew we needed a bond because if you start talking about social and everybody thinks cat videos and going down to the pub. So we needed to put that mechanism in place that once we got a social tool in place, the doubters could not break it, okay? And that then gave us a line in which that they had to toe it, okay? And so the important thing was, by tying it back, we created traction and attraction. So people could kind of start seeing, okay, they're talking social, I can see how it fits my mission statement, and something that the people cannot break. And then, yes, a line that can be towed. So this is about late 2014, so we hadn't even settled on a product yet. We just knew we wanted to do it. We wanted it all aligned together. But being great engineers, we do love planning. And so we firmly believe in planning now and really forever. And so the point was, we found it was actually never too late to kind of start this process. It just happened that we had a business trigger that made us go onto that journey. But as we went through the following 18 months, we realized it was never too late to plan, look back at our plan, and sort of move forward. But one of the things that came out, and one of the themes that I hope you'll take away from this, is that there's two phases to this cycle in sort of driving adoption. And I break them up into two, which is there's an adoption state where you switch something on and you want to encourage people to use it, right? But then there's the longevity state, which is you've given it to them and you need to keep them engaged in the process, right? But while you're in a longevity state, you're getting new staff coming on. So they're in adoption. So the point is you need to plan both for adoption and longevity. And that's what really drives the usage through. if you just sort of stop your planning at the lights on stage, the products grow and then it'll drop. And you get this sawtooth action. And we're really guilty as a company for doing that with previous technology rollouts. Yep.
So Simon, I want to draw everyone's attention to two things that he just brushed over that you should all be kind of jotting down as those takeaways. The first in that connection piece is whatever your business is, whether it's saving lives, whether it's creating products, whether it's delivering experiences, what's your company's mission and purpose? And how do you tie Yammer to that business strategy? So companies go through the business cycle, and sometimes it's about innovation and growth. Other times it's about efficiency and cost cutting. And so how are you going to tie Yammer to what the CEO would put in your annual report? If you don't have an annual report or you're a not-for-profit, that's fine. What does that leadership of your organization care about? And how are you going to translate Yammer and enterprise social, and for that matter, any technology, to the business strategy? So that's the first thing they did exceptionally well and that we see over and over again is key. And then the second bit here that we really take away is this idea, what Simon here calls adoption and longevity. You might think of it, and we might talk about it as launch, and then this ongoing adoption, is that this idea that too often we think about, oh, an office upgrade or launching a new product. Well, it's launched. Yeah. I'm done with it. Yeah. You know, hey, cool. Hand it off to, you know, operations or hand it off to another group. Cloud and especially something like enterprise social, which is just all about the network and about changing the way you work, is not a 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, 1 year project. This is about rewiring your organization. It's literally about changing the way that you connect and collaborate. And so the great thing that Mott MacDonald has done is they've said, hey, we're not going to just wash our hands of this when we've launched it, but we're going to continue to invest. And so that's another thing you should all be thinking about is how do we, even in the stage, and it's never too late, right? Even if you haven't done it before, start now. And, you know, if you start, you know, as soon as you can and keep at it.
It'll be better, yeah. Yeah, well and truly. So let me just pop this one up. Right, okay. Are any Dutch people in the audience? Okay, I am very sorry for what I'm about to do to you. I'm going to relive a moment from Rio 2016. I think it's a really, really powerful message that comes across, but unfortunately, it does involve Team GB and the Dutch, and we come off better. So as I say, I work for a company of engineers, and let's face it, engineers absolutely love specifications. If we don't have a specification, walls go in wonky, floors are wrong, the whole thing. So you can imagine the culture, okay, right, you're going to roll social out. Okay, we haven't quite decided what social is going to be, but we're going to roll social out, but we need a bloody good plan to do this. We'll need a specification and real definition. And without that, I don't think I would have got the business case through. People wouldn't have accepted it. And my digression and the reason why I asked about the Dutch guys in the audience is, because I want to talk about something that happened at Rio 2016. I want to talk about that because of the linkage it makes into the process. So the women's hockey final came down to England, or it was England, Team GB versus Holland. Now, the game finished 3-3. I don't know how many of you watched it. It was absolutely riveting. It was one of those things that peaked in viewership above England, the football team, when they're playing like the World Cup. It was just absolutely amazing. And it came down 3-3, extra time. They finished these games with penalty strokes. And anyone knows, penalties are super painful in whatever sport you're in. They are the ones that bring tears to definitely one team's eyes, if not both. So as the teams were sort of coming together, working out, okay, you're taking stroke one, two, three, four, the TV cameras focused in upon the England goalkeeper, the Team GB goalkeeper's water bottle. And it's up on the slide. On her water bottle, she had some notes. And on the notes, which are quite hard to read, and in fact, I've taken a leaf out of her book, right? I've got the notes that I need on my water bottle, is that she had the Dutch playing order and how they'll take the penalty strokes. And the little black book that you see kind of open alongside it had diagrams and notes about which way they would go, the percentage of times they went left, the percentage of times they went right. Every shot they took, she saved. 5 out of 5. We got the gold medal. Unfortunately, the Dutch got the silver. They were absolutely gutted. But the parallel is, she was super prepared. She had a plan and executed upon it. And that's the link I wanted to make here, because she knew who would step up and get in the way. And in the same way, we created our plan for social, and we were like, well, we know which people will block our path. We know which executives would be really, really supportive of what we're trying to do and achieve. So the advice I wanted to get to you really is, when you form your plan, think about those people who might get in your way, the people who will be really positive and supportive, and then you know you can tackle them head on. So the point is, Matt's going to talk about perfection, because Maddie was brilliant. Maddie had 12 months worth of video analytics to support her in those shots, okay? We're not all going to have the benefit of that, but we'll see.
So one of the key things, and Simon mentioned it before, is it's never too late to start. So when we're saying be prepared, if you're in that group who raised their hand in the beginning of like, hey, Yammer's out there, and now what? And we've jumped off the cliff, and we're trying to figure it out, if you're trying to harness and kind of channel all that energy and effort, right? The goal here is simply to, the point is, to take away, is that you should and you can and you should develop a plan that we're going to talk about the steps of that plan. So what we see in organizations that fail is that they just kind of turn it on, and then they allow it to go on, and then they hope something good comes from it, right? Turn it on, oh, Yammer grows organically, people are already using it. And there's some value there, right? People are figuring out how to use it. But the organizations who truly get strategic value, who truly are able to kind of really make this transform their organization and take the most advantage of it, are those that actually develop a plan that aligns it to their strategy. So, you know, perfection is ideal, but near enough will do, okay? Like, really, this isn't, you know, don't get intimidated. You know, I think sometimes we come to these events and we hear about the amazing and incredible stories in our customers, and really, right, this is the aspiration. This is where we want to get to. We're bringing up the best of the best, but don't let that get in the way and say, you know, I was just did another session where we showed, you'll see the video that Mott MacDonald did. You might not have the budget to do that. You might not have the resources. That's okay. Start with somewhere, but the point here in all of this is to develop a plan, be prepared, have an idea of where you want to go, and as we'll talk about more, focus on the team and the people aspect of all of this, as the technology piece is not nearly as critical.
Thank you, Matt. So, right. Okay, so you may have noticed I've not used the why word really up until this point. I've been talking about social and things, so because I am trying to take you on the journey. So by about the mid to late 2014, we could finally stop talking generic social. We had signed a deal with Microsoft. Office 365 was coming. We were about to light it up. And so the first thing we kind of did was we went with Yammer first. That kind of led us do all the hard stuff. If anyone's moved, I'll take it, how many of you have actually moved to Office 365 already? So you kind of feel that there's a lot of hard work in that process, right? So if you pick out some lower hanging things like we did, you can kind of move on and allow people to get acquainted. And that was the point. We allowed people to get acclimatized to a new world and a new product. And by giving them Yammer, they had a way of giving us good feedback about the rest of the Office 365 journey that we're on. And it also opened up a new, brand new world for them, because they could actually contribute from their kitchen table. They could do it on the train. They start filling those dead time in their day, and we're suddenly getting the linkage to the use cases, the sort of the generic models that Microsoft say, yeah, you can use it whenever you want. But we could actually start making that connection. You're waiting for a meeting, got 10 minutes, you know, check your latest posts, give some feedback. And so, as I say, we started with Yammer, and that was the way we wanted to go.
Yeah, so the key point here that I would just draw your attention to, a lot of organizations launch Office 365 and they say, hey, how can we support our users through this change? Use Office 365 to support Office 365. Use Yammer to support your Office 365 launch. It's a really common scenario and use case that we see. Create groups for your champions. We'll talk about champions and other groups and things like that. Create groups so that people can support one another.
Yeah.
And really, you know, focus on, you know, the ability to use Yammer to support Yammer.
So as I say, we saw this as an opportunity of working on our internal network. So switching Yammer on from an Office 365 migration point of view was low-hanging fruit. We needed to get a workload into it, a real workload that people understood rather than just groups and destinations. So the first thing we did was move our Lotus Notes-based discussion groups. I don't know if there's any Notes fans out there, but ours went, we put our Notes in 2002 and did not change it. So it was completely stale and 100% stable, worked perfectly, but that's where we started. So we started moving our workloads from Notes. And that was a sign to our organization we're making positive steps on our way forward. Now, I think the benefit of moving from Notes to Yammer for our culture was we've had a pretty good culture of connectedness and sharing. So the transition seemed a little bit easier. And I could imagine if you didn't have internal discussion forums or things before that, this is quite a big step for people to go through. So we will just, this is the beauty of a second screen. So when we moved to Yammer, well, it was really key for us to play up the advantages of why we wanted them to move, because you can give someone a shiny toy, but if you say, well, here's a shiny toy, away you go, they play for it for 2 minutes, when they don't really, it gets left to one side. And we had to kind of reassure them that once they were there, they weren't going to get into trouble for the things they were going to say, okay? These posts are public within your organization. And for a lot of people, that confidence to put something out there, to say something, to like something, takes time, it needs nurturing and reassurance. But it did help to serve and make the use case relevant. But we had to take a pretty, pretty hard line in what we were doing, because procrastination is such a bugger. It's such a real nasty enemy that if we said to all the discussion group owners, and some of these are listed on the slide, right, we need you to move to Yammer. You move to Yammer when you want. It's okay. It's no problem. It will never happen, right? They will find 101 million reasons why they don't do it, and you'll just end up exactly in the same place where you are. So we had to take a hard line in these situations. We had to give people a drop-dead date, saying, you know what? Move your community, or we'll move it for you. This is the end date. And that helped drive them in, because without that, I think they would have just gone on and procrastinated until now. So sadly, you will need a stick to help sometimes drive some adoption points. Sometimes you will need a stick. And if you've got your plan tied back to a company missional statement or vision, the stick's really easy. Can you go, see those big letters on the wall, the thing we're all trying to do? You're blocking it, and there's nothing they can stop there. And this really helps with the getting acquainted process. So you take a familiar, light workload, move it into Yammer, and they get really, really settled into it. So, yeah, let's do, okay. So, now there's one thing I wanted to touch upon in my haste. That's it, right, perfect. CIOs have expectations. Expectations align to light switches. Flick a switch, it happens. Energy flows, pew, light comes on. That's not true about community. That is absolutely not true about community. Communities are not born in a flick of a switch, okay? And one of the struggles we have and continue to have is convincing those above us that communities take time to nurture, so they need bucket loads of TLC. You really, really need to help people on that journey. And that's the point, because you can move those things and create all these beautiful groups in Yammer, but without TLC, you just end up with empty cable cars. This is the London Airway. And when it was opened, lots of people rushed to kind of use it, right? It's packed out. The point is they had to kind of drive people to use that service. It's now brilliant. If you go to London and want a really good value sightseeing tip, take a ride on that. You'll see London from a completely different perspective. But it took time and effort, because you didn't get usage in their case, or in our case, adoption, from day one. It takes time to build up the buzz, the momentum around it. Now, that was great. And we finally had some groups that really, really thrived, really, really started to grow. But I don't know, some just didn't. They just, we just moved them, and they really struggled. And it took us a while to understand why was our Ask HR group, which was a really popular discussion forum, where people could post comments about, you know, how do I find out my pension and benefits, or how much money do I make, or I've got this boss who's not very nice. It was a really flourishing group. People were very confident in using it. And suddenly, when we ported that group over, nothing. There weren't even crickets in it. It was completely dead. And I was trying to work out why. So, you know, we scratched heads, and we had that embarrassing thing of reporting metrics, say, yeah, groups, brilliant, rubbish. And we took a little while to work out, and we started looking at posts and nothing. The conversations were a bit stilted, clipped. What's going on here? And it took a moment or two to work out that we had allowed anonymous posting in the Lotus Notes world. It was anonymous posting that gave people the confidence to talk about important things, about the pensions, about their salaries, about benefits and qualities. Moving them to Yammer, we took away that ability to be anonymous. And that stopped that group in its tracks. And we had to find a way out. And actually, the way out we found was, it's not completely satisfactory, but we allowed people to post by proxy. So a senior HR director said, I don't care what traffic comes through this email box. I will just take what content there is. I will copy and paste it. It'll come from me. But then that helped that group start getting up into life. People are seeing their posts, but under a senior person's name, but they knew it was theirs. And then they knew that the conversation was going, and they were getting the answer they want. And that gave them then the confidence the next time round, you know, I will post that. The nastiness didn't happen to me. We could have taken a different option. We could have coded our way out of this solution, and it is possible to do. If you want to talk to me afterwards, it's pretty easy to do. But the point was, that would have moved Yammer from being low-hanging fruit and really easy to pick off to another 2 months of development time, and we would have lost that perspective of Yammer's easy, let's get in it, get you acquainted, and get you moving. So as you can see, I've got some emerging themes. So yeah, it is really starting to be go beyond the technology. There is a human aspect to all of this. You need to get someone to own it. So at this point, we didn't really have an owner for it. It was just in the bubble of IT, and it was just a service line that we're switching on. So what's really important is you need the business to own it. The business need to own this thing. This is just not a toy that you're switching on, and I'll come to that a bit more. And a really important thing is about the culture.
So you've heard it over and over and over again, culture, culture, culture. Many of you are familiar with the idea that culture eats strategy for lunch. And it's just really important, and many of us don't have, you know, we have a background in technology, in helping provide a service or deploying these things. And culture is this kind of soft and fuzzy thing. But it's really important as we move into this cloud environment that we understand that culture is about the way that we work. It's how we work together as groups of people. And as IT professionals, it's really key that we evolve to really understanding how culture helps our business get value from the technology. And so, again, a consistent theme that you'll hear from successful Yammer implementations is an understanding that culture matters, and that this is not just a technology issue, but that it's also a cultural one. And so partnering with the business, getting that business ownership, is absolutely critical in the process. And there's a lot of really great ways and creative ways that we'll talk about around terms around use cases and really answering that what's in it for me question for your various stakeholders. But just this idea of culture, you know, it's something that we've kind of maybe not been as engaged with or directly a part of. For Yammer and especially the rest and Office 365 suite, when you're trying to get people to work in a new way, that's a cultural problem and a people problem, not a technology problem.
Thanks, Matt. So as Matt finished with, it's we had great planning, really good planning, but it was primarily technology focused. We worked out the policies, and one of the weaknesses we really found was that around the human factors, around ownership and the business understanding. So we reached out for help. We asked our partner at the time, we asked our Microsoft support team, and they all pointed us to the Office 365 network, so what is now known as the community. They moved us there, and I started asking questions, what should we do, and how do we do it, and how do we find it? And the cacophony of noise that came back says, you need someone from the business to own this. It was just such a strong message that came through. And they said, you need your own Maddie Hinch, right? You need someone who can step up, plan it, and a squad of players behind you to drive this forward, okay? So we're like, oh, okay, fair enough. So that's what we did. So we started putting together a team of people to help us, give us credibility within the business. So we wrote some job descriptions based on a program by British Airways. They had been through this curve a few years before us. And we took those job descriptions, put them out there, said, if you want to do this, put your hand up. We didn't want people to be voluntold, because voluntold people don't deliver. So we really wanted these people to be passionate. And the thing was, as you may have noticed, I've already nearly done a year, right? And it's not too late to have a champion. So we only really got a champion embedded about a year into the process. And my point is, virtually every single situation around this is salvageable. I mean, sunken ships, they could be brought back up. Most of them could be brought back up with the right crew. So if you've got the right crew, whatever situation you find your network in or your situation, there's going to be a way to bring that back and bring it back to order. And it generally comes from your own people in your own business.
Yeah, so I think what's really key here, and that we've seen over and over again, is this idea of a community manager. Just by show of hands, how many of you actually have people, whether it's full-time, part-time, have a community manager responsibility within your Yammer networks? Show of hands. So about a quarter, maybe even a little bit less. So how many of you don't have any community managers at all? Just you know you don't have that. I'm just saying if it's the opposite or if people are just in the middle and just don't know. All right. So this is a role, and it doesn't have to be full-time, although in many large organizations it is. But it's somebody who's there to kind of be a connector, to help guide, to help coach, to help really, community manager is probably a bit of a misnomer as much as it is community shepherd or community guide or community enabler. And their job is to really empower their users. Their job is to really help to connect the dots between different groups and things like that. So for those organizations who are using Yammer today who don't have somebody who looks out for that network and for that community in some form or fashion, there's some great resources out there, both in the tech community and the Microsoft community, if you will, but also in the Community Roundtable is an outstanding resource for community manager job descriptions and kind of what is their roles and responsibility. Today, you would never launch or have, if you will, an external social presence without somebody to overlook that social experience for your customers. Think about the same thing internally. Who's helping to guide that experience? Who's helping to capture the value, create more value, et cetera? So that's really where we see, oftentimes these people sit within internal communications, can sit within HR, can sit in different lines of business, quite candidly. We've seen them all over, but usually in those two mainly. But think about that role, and again, if it's somebody's part-time description or responsibilities, but it's a real key that the responsibilities of that role are really about a multiplier effect in terms of the value you're going to get from your community.
Yeah, so in our case, it was someone from the business, and we had that argument that unquantifiable, you take someone out, they're not earning a fee, how are we going to pay for them? But actually, their efforts and their input more than repaid the fee that we lost from that individual, so it's a really important thing. So at this point, I just wanted to kind of, because we're roughly at the midpoint of the session, so I just wanted to go through some of the things. So I've touched upon the necessary point of tying it back. Find a mechanism of tying it back. Please plan like Olympians, or at least strive to plan like Olympians. Don't forget to do the adoption and longevity bit and tear down some barriers. But be super patient and apply plenty of TLC. Doesn't matter where it comes from, apply the TLC. Tender loving care. So, and the other points I wanted to get across were, get a business owner, drive the champion, you don't get instant community, but you get community, and you kind of weave it into the everyday. So I'm now going to move into the segment about these are the things that we did. Once we've got Yammer up and running, these are the things that we did to help drive adoption. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is what I call small victories. It's those little things that you see in Yammer or something that happens in Yammer that gives a real positive kick and moves it forward. And we worked really hard on driving people to Yammer through a load of different channels. So we're on this journey. We'd lit up Yammer, but also by now we had lit Office Video, which has Yammer. You can just post your comments from Yammer. We also started embedded Yammer threads on our intranet. We really started driving people to Yammer through different channels. And really, we're doing that to a bit like a kindling analogy, that if you start a fire, you need lots of little bits and pieces. If you throw a big log on it, just kind of just fizzles and just does nothing. And the point is, so multi-channels, driving it through and then celebrating those little things, those little nuggets of information that happened, that came on. So through the magic of Camtasia, we shall try and do this. So as I say, we've got a, this happened, this thread you're about to see is only, it's about 3 weeks old now. So we just completed a really, really big project in Turkey, the Third Bosphorus Crossing. And so we published a news article in our intranet. Oh, I have to get it to play. So, yep, thanks Matt. Bro. So what you're going to see here is a lovely intranet page, mobile rendered, but we have embedded Yammer in the page. And within the page, one of the first comments was, why is it this kind of bridge? Okay. But the point is, the question was asked by someone who wasn't a bridge engineer. He's actually a rolling stock engineer. They're the people who actually design the insides of trains. He was like, well, why is that? Now, within 30 minutes, a team leader popped up and said, we designed a bridge like this. The conversation goes on. There is absolutely tons of detail. Remember the director of professional excellence. He chimes in and says, well, okay, that's fine. Someone in New York picks it up and says, actually, a great example is a Brooklyn Bridge, this kind of bridge. And we were getting this really, really thriving conversation. In fact, to the point where it's like, the PM was like, I'm impressed. I've just built a bridge. I didn't realize I was going to get this kind of momentum going through these things. And these are the little victories, the bits of praise from the senior leaders, the people who are saying, this is great. And then the learning bits, the little learning nuggets, it's really informative of what we've done. And then the conversation really drifts. They start talking about Denmark and tunnels and length and how the conversation grows and twists and turns. There's just littered of really little, great little nuggets of knowledge and learning and little victories that have really, really helped people push forward. So here's a few other sort of small victories that I like. Richard is quite a senior bloke in our organization. He worked out the magic in PDF that you can actually just print the PDF from Office now. I mean, but he celebrated it. He put it on Yammer, he said, hey, it's great. And then someone else chipped in and went, actually, it's darn sight better when you're doing Office now. So those are great things. And there's a good example of this little thing. And the reason why I know about all of these is the community managers have tagged all of them. They've spotted these things going through and said, this is really good. This is a really good little victorious post. You'll see most of them have a little post on it, or like good talk example you can see on here. It's a topic tag, or you can see hashtag learn on this one, which is a guy who went to a conference like this for dams and engineering. They said, well, share three learning events from that thing. And he kicked off this really, really long comprehensive thread that involved dam engineers from across the world going, okay, the three things I learned about bridge dam design is da, da, da. And we suddenly got all these really great bits of feedback from silos that we wouldn't have already broken down. You know, then it comes down to the fact that, how do I use something? It's sort of the typical use case, but you can get, well, how do I use something? Really short answer, it's really terse, but actually, you might see the words expand, and there's an arrow on this one. Amy, bless her, she wrote a post, which is probably about this big, right? So I wasn't going to scroll and video it, but the fact that she not only answered the question, but she went into the granular details about why this is wrong, do this, do that. She empowered Matt beyond belief. And it's little things like that that really tease out the power of Yammer. And obviously, you might be familiar with these ones. So these are obviously obvious small victories. But hey, a bit of praise. So Yammer's ability to say, well done, good job. So in this case, we're praising our comms managers, praising our champions network for running a 30 days of Yammer campaign, which I'll come to in a minute. We've got other people. This is a senior group director. And you get the idea that you could strike up all these little objects, little victorious moments, and they really mean value, and we have plenty. And the last one I wanted to dwell on is the fact that this small victory stood out to me, because this is one in one of those groups where it was kind of dwelling and dying, right? And we finally got that group into life. And we managed to get to that group into life to the point where we have a conversation about being introverts or extroverts, open plan offices, how fearful they are. I've cut the base off, but the point is we'd got them to the point of confidence that they could have those conversations out loud, out in public. And that was all done through Yammer. That was a really great little moment for us to see that. So I've touched upon the concept of the little small victories, you know, ideation, problem solving, sharing the good, and we do share the bad news. It is super important to pluck up the courage to share bad news. You learn so much more from the bad than you generally do from the good, okay? Obviously, I've touched upon praise, and the final case really is about converting the doubters. Now, I'd like to talk about doubts in a second, but maybe you want to touch upon victories first.
Yeah, so here's the key thing to take away from this, is that in each of these little screenshots is a story. Qualitative data that you can show back to the business, back to the sponsors around value that's being created. So when you're looking at success, when you're looking at these things, you want to track your metrics, you want to track your analytics, you want to be able to say, hey, here's where things are growing, here's where things aren't growing, et cetera, but you need to have the stories. Stories are how we communicate as people. Stories are how we tell things around business value. So I'll just tell a very short example. We had an organization that in a single post, large oil and gas company, someone in the North Sea said, hey, we're about to embark on a project focused on this type of drilling. Does anyone work on a similar project? Somebody down in, I believe it was either Australia or New Zealand, said, hey, we're just wrapping up a project that's really similar. They estimated the cost savings, because these two people randomly bumped into each other, at close to $1 million. So one guy posts a question, another person responds. That's a story. That's qualitative data, but that can then be quantified into new revenue, cost savings, et cetera. So look for these small wins as well as these big wins in the form of these small stories, and use your champions to curate and to kind of bubble those up and be your eyes and ears on the ground.
Yeah, and so the kind of the last thing I wanted to touch upon in terms of these victories, one great victory is converting a doubter. Doubters can have such a negative effect, especially if, say, a senior leader, because they can prevent people from using Yammer really, really easily. And in one case in point, we had a director in the Middle East who thought Yammer was all about cat videos. It was all about going to the pub. It was definitely not about knowledge sharing, ideation, supporting people, and all the good stuff that it was. So he sent a regional-wide email, don't use Yammer. Anyone using Yammer? That was bad, right? So I ring him up. Hi, it's Simon from IT. Want to talk to you about your email, blah. No interest, right? I'm Simon from IT. It makes no, deaf ears. Don't give a monkey's. I don't care if he works in the business. You know, my decision goes. So what we did, we tasked our regional champion to go and sit with him one-to-one and have a conversation, working through his fears and about the product, about how people are using it. And understanding the cultural blockers that they might have. The flip side was, our champion walked away, I get an IM. That went pretty well. The flip side was, he was emailing saying, the next time I stand up in front of everyone, I'm gonna do it through Yammer. He had already decided to do a Yam Jam off the back of the conversation that they had. So a Yam Jam is like a big town, virtual town halling effect. So he had switched from hating it to loving it with a little fireside chat by the right person, which is really, really important. So I mentioned the word Jam Jam, or as I like to call them, my Dam Busters, because they're the way where you need something bigger. So you imagine all these little small victories as all the little bits of water that are building up behind the dam. And sometimes you've got to open the gate. And they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant for bringing a lot of people together and having conversation about. And I've got some statistics on the next one. But what you've got to be kind of conscious with is that with Yam Jams and with praise and announcements and things like that, people will really easily get oversaturated by, this is really good, you've got to see this, you've got to do it. And I kind of liken that to the email blast. I mean, how many of you get a company-wide email every day or an office-wide email? I think I've been away now for about 6 days. I've got 574 unread. 572 of them are from the office manager about, hey, the water's not working, the radiator's not done. There's so much of it, I just completely and utterly tune out. So one of my tips for kind of driving adoption is, you probably know that Yammer includes the ability to post announcements. You've got to use those announcements sparingly, because your culture is already saturated. They're already getting up in the TV advert break and walking away and, you know, making a cup of tea. They're getting completely bombarded. If you keep hitting them with loads and loads of announcements, they're not going to pick up on it. So use them tactically, and when you do. And you couple those announcements to something, as I say, like a Yam Jam. So I've got some statistics from some of our groups, and you can see the number of people who kind of get involved in it. So the one I wanted to call out is the middle one, Talk Misa. So that was the one that followed up when the guy went, hey, oh, let's use a Yam Jam. Let's bring everyone together for 1 hour, and we can talk about all the situations in the Middle East and the Middle East operations. Something like 1,015 people, right, got stuck into that and had a great thread, great conversations, and it went on. And it's brilliant, because they're talking around a focused topic. And it might appear like a maelstrom to the uninitiated, but with the help and guidance of our champions, it kind of brought it together, and they understood their journey. But the point is here that you may need your champions to help calm the storm, because actually things like Yamjas can get a bit out of control, and you need them to kind of step in and help it. But you really need those little small victories to kind of spike people's interest, and you need to keep feeding the fire. And my final thing about Yam Jams, which I think is really important, actually, and what I try and ask my community guys to do and the champions to do, I believe that no question should go unanswered. At some point, a question should get an answer. Someone had the time to ask, you should give them the time to reply. And that makes a really big difference in their experience in using something like Yammer or any other product where you're asking a question. Because they've invested the effort, you should invest it back. So I tell to our people in our Yam Jams, in the wash-up, once the maelstrom's settled and you've had your coffee, you're like, oh, my fingers are burning, I can't type anymore. Once you've had that moment, go back through the post you haven't answered, tag them up and answer them off. They have so much more power. Ooh, jolly color. So as we move towards the end, I want to talk about how we started weaving Yammer into the fabric, right, bridging the divide. So I've mentioned near the beginning the generic Yammer use case. How do you relate it to what you do? I think it's really important. You take something like this, supporting and managing innovation. You've got to take a statement like that and link it to your business, because that is the way you kind of drive the usage. I want to show you how we did it. We wrote Yammer into our business processes. So our business processes include the need, as you saw earlier, to put the hashtag learn when you see something that's good, something that's worthwhile. So you see here, tag the content in the group with the topic name. Determine what it is, give some feedback. But the best bit is, you then end up, let's have a look, 1,250 conversations are rocking around, or search results around just one or two little tags. And we're just bringing and bubbling great knowledge together, and so we've integrated the process, and we've actually made that use case relevant to the organization to the point that they're taking it on. And so our staff and our encouraged to do it, our champions help cajole and work them through and weave it into the fabric. Another example of how we weave it in. So we've extended the SharePoint user profile service. So we ask people to add some other custom fields at the bottom. Tell me a little bit more about you, the things you're interested in, the part of the business you work in. So as you see on the screen here, it's from my profile. So I've picked some things I'm interested in, like building information modeling, civil engineering. I've even rated myself. So we've used it to kind of rate 5's a world expert. One is I don't know very much about it. And that's great, because that augments Delve. That gives great feedback into Delve. It suddenly brings Delve's profiles to life. And it enhances search. But the clever thing that I feel that we've done is we have automation that runs. It takes the decisions that people make on their user profile and joins them to the corresponding Yammer group of the similar topic. It also joins them to a SharePoint team site, which is really, we don't force people to subscribe to loads of groups. We don't control the group sphere within Yammer. We don't say, well, you can't have a group of this, but we have 80 that we look after, we curate. As you see on this one, it's got an official swoosh on it that says, this is a good place. This community's got a lot of people in it that you'll be familiar with and you'll resonate with. And it also really helps with onboarding. We've weaved it into our onboarding process. We get a new person in, we say, okay, day one, here's your username, password, fill in your user profile. They fill their user profile. And so then we say, go and explore Office 365. They click the waffle, they click the Y, they open it up, and they don't just have the all network feed anymore. They have the two or three groups that they've already shown an interest in. That gives them a sweet way of actually finding Yammer rather than sort of going into the all network and just trying to, oh, what's going on here? Or discover a group or looking at the suggested list. We've already made some suggestions. Say, have a look at this, go here. I'll tell you what, in the Q&A bit, if I don't overburst the red light, I will go through exactly how we do it. And so that was one example. And another way we kind of wove it into our business fabric was we, I guess like your companies, you bring people together for forums and to talk about particular subjects. In our case, we have to then fly loads of people in from around the world for a week and they talk some really good stuff and they disappear and that knowledge and learning's kind of lost a bit. So we took a decision, again, based off the back of the recession, to cut our travel budgets. And as part of that, we said, yes, you can go to these forums, but we want fewer people to go. We will stream those forums using Yammer. So anyone who wants to participate can join by Yammer. Typically, this quote is from the senior director for building information modeling for his forum. Typically, he would have got 40, 50 delegates turning up in person. The combined attendance to this event, Yammer plus the building, 440 people took part, watched videos. We pre-canned some videos. They could live stream. We used some Skype to push it all through. But the contributors weren't just 440. It's 85 offices around the world in 20 countries. We suddenly pulled a whole load chunk better. Now, we reckon that event all in costs us about 50K to run. Right, but all of that money was spent on the venue hire. But the extra benefit that we've got, so we've totted up the impact of combining Yammer and Skype, so I have to say the two together, on our travel budget. And our travel budget was something like 110 million a year. We've shaved off 5 million off our travel budget by combining the power of Yammer and Skype together and weaving it into the fabric of the everyday. I think I'll just. So the final piece that I want to talk about in the way we weaved it in, that obviously is Yammer for mobile. So we really encourage people to post using their mobile phones and their devices wherever they are at any time. We tried to put the least amount of wrapping and security around their devices to make it as easy as possible for them to contribute. As you can see on the right hand side, and I've touched upon, we weave it into Yammer Embed. We highlight the groups that have got community moderation and support with an official swoosh. And that helps people understand that this is a good place to be, it's looked after, and it really drives people forward. So one of the things we did run was a 31 days of Yammer contest. Now, if you're following on the second screen or you go away afterwards and look at my notes, in my notes for this section, I talk about the 31 days of Yammer. I've given you all the topics that we run in that 31 days of Yammer. This is all about pick a little topic, talk about that topic one day, move on to another one, move on to another one, and you're slowly guiding people into the Yammer experience. So as you can see here, the easy one is, you know, just check your profile, day one, tick. The beauty of something like with 31 days of Yammer is that unless you run it like us. We ran it over 6 weeks. Oh, engineers and specifications, 31 days is 31 working days, so that's 6 weeks. I digress. So the beauty is you can reuse this as part of your onboarding process. So if you get someone new to your company, new to Yammer, if you pop them one topic a day or a week, however you want to play it, from your 31 days of Yammer, just to spike and nudge that level of interest, and that drives them forward. And you get this great reusable situation. So this is the impact. So we use analytics. I mean, because without analytics, it's really hard to convince any boss that doing something like this is worthwhile. You've got to show the tangible outputs. Nothing looks better than a line that's going upwards. It's great, unless it's to do with exchange rates with the euro, which is bad for me. But you can see the impact here. So spikes are great. Spikes show when something you've done is good. You get a real positive reinforcement in the message. 31 days of Yammer. Pretty awesome, that. Look at the size of that mountain. But the other point that I want to make out is the entry point, the downslope, and the exit point are not level. They're actually higher. So once the spike's done, we come out and we're still going on an upward trajectory. If any of you see the Gartner hype cycle, you hit the slope of, you go to the top and you're into the chasm, right? And you come out. Well, you don't get that effect. You're getting that point where you're actually going out and get higher. We rebranded, not because we didn't want to be mixed with the great burger flipping company, but we felt we needed a new look. And again, we allow people to have conversations around it, and that spiked conversations within our network. The forums thing that I was talking about, look at that, one forum, the impact, the number of people started to engage and use in Yammer. And we get a real steady upward trend. It really shows the way it's engaging. In fact, September, you can see it's still on an upward trajectory, whereas the entry point, the exit point's a bit low. A bit disappointed by that. So my point is, numbers don't lie, right? The trouble is, the data from Microsoft is super limited, okay? Sadly, you will have to invest to kind of get this level of understanding. I do hope at this conference they will say, you know what, we're going to give you a whole great stack of great new intelligence and information, but I'm sorry to say, unless they do say that, you might have to spend a bit of money to get this view, but I'm saying that spending that money is well worth it. It's brilliant for pushing it through. And to the point, we share all of the analytics with every single group can see their own analytics. We don't care. We have one group who uses it to tell stories sufficiently to justify their business case, to justify their existence. They take their Yammer data, so this is our diversity and equality group, and they say, these are none of the people interacting with us, this is how well we're doing. Dear Chairman, can we have some more money because we're still going up and we need some more help and support? And they've founded their entire case upon it.
Quick show of hands, how many of you actually track your Yammer usage today or adoption? Just out of curiosity, you actually actively track it? Interesting, so about a quarter to a third. How many of you track usage and or adoption of Office 365 at large? You're just looking at, hey, what are the usage rates for that? Okay, so a little bit higher. And just curious, how many of you are looking at adoption and usage in some form or fashion as a measure of success? Does that factor in today? Okay, about half. So that means about half of you, it doesn't. So there's two things to this that I think is key from what Simon's pointing out. Number one, measure it. If you don't measure it, you're not going to know whether it's getting better, getting worse, et cetera. Number two, you can't get value if people aren't using it. So it's just a prerequisite, but it is not value in and of itself, and that's why the stories component is so key. You can have 100% of your people on there talking about what they had for dinner, sharing cat videos, et cetera. Now, some might say, hey, employee engagement, connection, et cetera, but let's set that value bit aside. There's not a lot of value there. Or you go back to my other example where two people in a company of 100,000 plus generated nearly $1 million in business value. So tie your quantitative and your qualitative, use the data to drive adoption and find those opportunities, and then use your stories to get other people to get on board.
Okay. Yeah, and the final bit there is really that it does allow you to benchmark if you want. You could obviously compare to your peers. And That is obviously very reassuring at times, but just what is good for some companies could be bad for the other. That's all I'm going to say. Take it with a pinch of salt. So, hey, we kind of got to near the bottom. Right. Okay, so I've probably fire hosed you with a load of things and loads of information. And as I say, there's a ton of it in the notes, right? In fact, every single word that I had hoped to say in the 75 minutes that I'm allotted is written down in the slide deck. You can take it away, you can look at it, you can look at the stories and start taking the connections together. I cannot say strongly enough that joining a mature community will really, really help drive it through. You'll learn things in the way you and your approaches on an exponential rate if you do that. So I'm calling out what's called the tech community, the Microsoft tech community. If you don't know what it is, they've got a massive stand near the hangout area. Go and explore it. Go and sign yourself up there. And the point is, don't be afraid to reach out. We are all on this journey together.
Quick, there are additional resources in the Fast Track Center, success plan, fasttrack.microsoft.com.
Perfect. Hey, so my favorite slide. Probably your favorite slide, because you know I'm near the end. You're probably feeling that inside. So what I wanted to point out, yep, this is what happened when Maddie saved that last shot. So in terms of recap, right. So in terms of the recap, right, tie it back to your business mission statements or visions. Something's important, tie it back to your business. Please plan as best as you can, like Olympian. We can't be Maddie. We can't have 12 months of video analysis, but we can get quite close to that point. Plan for adoption and the longevity. This is not a light switch moment. Please don't think driving adoption is all about just switching it on. Please, hopefully I've got that across. Use it to tear down your barriers. Use those examples, but be really super, super patient. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is a Yammer community. And please, please, please apply plenty of tender, loving care. The other points I wanted to get across, importantly, you know, get a business owner, drive it forward with a champion, and communities are definitely not instant, and try and weave it into your everyday life. Please celebrate those victories. Please try and be a dam buster. Please use data to really spike the interest that will really start to drive it forward and use it to support your storage. But most importantly, use your plan, okay? That is the most important thing that I want you to do and take that away. And I will just skip the compulsory slide because I don't know what it's about. Thank you, Microsoft, for injecting three slides I do not know the content of. obviously, your feedback is important to us. Please rate it. That is the end of the session. I really thank you for coming. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to stick around. I'll be down at the Yammer booth, and so will Matt.
And we're also having a happy hour for those of you who stuck it out through the entire session. There is a happy hour tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Tonight at 6 o'clock. I get my days mixed up.
Why did I employ him, really?
Tonight at 6 o'clock, right across the street from Building B. What is it?
Dan Tanner's, yeah.
Yeah, that place. So come there at 6 o'clock. Come join us for drinks, and we appreciate you being here. Also have some swag for those who haven't had a chance. Come up, ask a question. We're happy to answer it and give you some swag as well.
Thanks very much. Hope it was useful.